Okay, we're in the Hakdama of the Reb Yitzchok Mevolozhin, the son of Reb Chaim Volozhin. And I have to admit that initially I was just going to go through this very quickly, just the Hakdama. I'm realizing that the Hakdama of Reb Yitzchok Mevolozhin is as chashev as the Sefer. I mean, he learns Pshat from his father. He's learning his father like a sugya. Which is altogether like what a dream. Can you imagine that if we could become so great that our kids will want to learn us? Not to say a hesped, my dad. Just really like learn pshat. So like he learns pshat ad kedei kach that he didn't. We're going to see later why he didn't. But he didn't print the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim for a number of years. And when he went over it. To a number of years after his father was Nifter, he went over his own Hakdama, and then he wrote Hagos on his Hakdama, another Kiddush. And so he was like a Sukhya, of the Gemara, just an amazing. They took every aspect of him and blended it in with Chazal, and it was just beautiful. So, with the last thing that we said in our volume here, it's. We just finished page 19, moving on to page 20, and we said that the Reb Chaim Volozhin, he says, was his ikir was that he sat in front of the Vilna Gaon Milakameh, and he brought here in the footnote on the second time around that when it came to let's say Rebbe said, what was my greatness? My great, and people asked him, Rabbi, how did you become so great? So he said, because he sat behind Reb Meir. So he was young. He was just a young Talmud in the time when Reb Meir was the Rosh Yeshiva. He sat behind Reb Meir. He wasn't zochah to sit in front of him. He only sat behind him. He says, V'ilu chazisi mekameh, but if I would have sat in front of him, I would be even greater. So he explains in a very deep way. I don't want to go into it again because we did. That the difference in, there's a whole difference in the part of the das, which is called the das milukameh, the das me'achoyre. There's like when you see a silhouette of somebody, or you watch somebody from the back, so you can see their meisim, you can see their external thing, you can see how they're walking, if they're in a hurry, where they're going, if they're determined, if they have a goal. You can see all that from the back, but when you see the face of a person, when somebody's coming towards you, you can really see what's on their mind. Not just the external output, not just the articulation of where they're going, but you actually see the depth of the person. So Reb Meir said everything. Reb Yehuda Nasi said, "When I'm teaching, everything I'm teaching you is because I sat behind Reb Meir." So what he meant to say is not a question of telling him where he sat. I sat here. I sat there. What he was saying was that the most I saw was the silhouette of Reb Meir. If I would have seen him from the front, I would even have a whole different Havana. And he says that the Reb Chaim Volozhin saw the Vilna Gaon from the front. So it's not just that, I presume that when we hear a story of the Vilna Gaon, another story, another Gadol, another Tzaddik, but when you see him from the front, he understood what was on the Vilna Gaon's mind. You know, this just shows us, because of the Reb Chaim Volozhin was who the Vilna Gaon was. He says here on page 20, "Ukiyamim asher lamad lefanav," that during the time that he learned by the Vilna Gaon, remember we said when he was young he learned by the Shagasarya, and then afterwards he became a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. First word, "Ukiyam asher lamad lefanav be'ema be'yira," page 20, first word. Oh, I'm sorry, the one I have. It was like the Navi speaks about taking from Nahar Dinor, a Kabbalistic Navi of taking from the rivers of knowledge of Har Dinor, which were rivers of fire that Daniel Hanavi describes as Nevuah. He said that he was watching rivers of fire. Kekasha limed v'idea levanav, whenever he would teach or tell over to his children, v'talmidav, or his students, hayamim asher amad lefanav, that's how it was when Reb Chaim Volozhin would describe his learning and standing in front of the Vilna Gaon. Eimsa derabe havei elah, he would be in pachad, he would tremble as he would quote the Vilna Gaon, b'mora nifla, ki ulu oime lufana b'marim. The Vilna Gaon was long gone, he was in Shemayim, but it was as if the Vilna Gaon was standing right there in front of him, and he would have this pachad of every time the Vilna, every time he would quote the Vilna Gaon. B'kasher posach b'shmeitze v'doker shmei derabe, whenever he would start with learning, or even mention the name of his Rebbe, havi mirateya kol agufa, his whole body would begin to shake. Viziuishnin iluha, this is all lashon from Daniel. Ziuishnin aleha, you know, zihuim like a tudat zehut. Ziuishnin iluha, he would change. Ruchaim lashon would look different. His face would be different. Everything would be different because like the ruach of the Vilna Gaon was going through him. That's how remarkable this was. May eish hamislakachas bilavavo, from the fire of the river of the v'hagiyoy darach tarkitzid kasev v'chasidasev v'taris kedushasei v'ar tarosai niknasai, and he had a kinyan in the Torah of the Vilna Gaon v'asher hayo koicha yafe v'hamaylosh hatar niknas v'hem, because, and this is really the segue to what we want to speak about today, because he was koicha yafe, meaning that the Reb Chaim v'lozhin Kocha Yafa, his strength was, the strength of character was Bahamaila Shatar Niknas Fahem, was in the, as we call these days, the 48 ways that Tara Niknas Fahem, which the Torah has acquired to them. And if you look at the theme of those 48 ways, I'm not an expert, but if you look at the theme, much of it comes down to being humble, being able to be machnia yourself, being able to do without, being able to care less about your comfort and more about the material and the Torah and Hashem. That's the upshot of the 48 way Shatara Niknas Behem. And this was the tuna of Rav Chaim v'lozhin, and this is what we're going to speak about now. Umiyaderes Eliyahu, this is like a pun, and from the mantle of Eliyahu, from the coat of Eliyahu, which is, later on Rav Chaim v'lozhin wrote a sefer about the Vilna Gaon, called it Aderes Eliyahu, Hislabish Anava V'yira, from being in the presence, in the awesome presence of such a great person as the Vilna Gaon. I don't think we have a concept, and my Rebbe used to say all the time, like, we have no concept of the Vilna Gaon. You know, we just have no concept in how great of a Talmud Chacham, as much of a Talmud Chacham that we can imagine. So we can't imagine anything, so multiply it by 1,000. And you get the Vilna Gaon. That's what he used to say. But then he said, and it's clear to him, or Scheinberg told me this, said it to many people, that it's clear to him that the Vilna Gaon was nothing compared to Abaye and Rava. And Abaye and Rava compared to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, I mean, we don't understand so what's there? They were great geniuses. Of course, they were great geniuses. But the point is that they were. Literally, these people were literally walking Sifrei Torah. They were Torah. It's not that they learned Torah, that they did Torah. They were Torah. They were Torah. And everything was 100% clear to them. It was like Hashem's gift to the world. So we're talking about when he would mention the Vilna Gaon, he would tremble. And it created in him one of the main theme of the 48 ways, which is anova, which is modesty, humility, being humble. And here he says, do you have the place? Ugedola anova, so look. Ugedola anova, shel kvod mar abba hagoyim. And I want to speak now, he says, about the anova. Now, I think there's a lot of Torah here to be learned. And we say modest, we're used to hearing this word. It was humble. I think there's a lot of Torah to be learned here from V'chaim V'lozhin. V'nislabish b'chol drachel v'nisivosel. This humility took over everything that the Reb Chaim did. Uksais drachav asapra, and I want to tell over the tip of his knowledge. This is also a pun, because ksas means a little bit, right? But ksais means like minakotza lakotza, to the extreme. So do you know the connection between those two words? Because when you get something down to the very, very end, you get to a peak, you get to a final, that you're getting down to like one almost immeasurable point. That's why it's called a ksas. Ksas is the kutza. So he says, I'm going to give you the tip of the iceberg here. Sois drach of asapra, which is the lashon of a pasuk, be'asher derech hanava. Liois, now this is interesting. Liois es dacha, oilereimem es dacha itai. I don't know if you're familiar. Let's learn it together for a second. The Gemara says, in Saita, a fascinating Gemara. There's part of this Gemara that everybody knows about why Har Sinai was not the biggest mountain. Right? There's even kids' songs about it. But really, the Gemara is much... Here. So the Gemara says in Saita Daf Hey. There's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Pasuk in Yeshayahu says Ve'ezdaka Ushval Ruach. Let's go all the way and learn the pasuk. Yeshayahu and a nevuah. They're the most fantastic nevuahs. Yeshayahu. Kichoy amar. This is what Hashem said. This is, by the way, Yeshayahu Nun Zayin, a little piece of trivia which is not trivial. This is the only place in the whole Tanakh where a Navi says Kichoy amar and he doesn't say Kichoy amar Hashem. Always says Kichoy amar Hashem, including Yeshayahu. Koyamar Hashem. This is what Hashem said. Ki koyamar. This is very deep. He just says koyamar. This is what he said. He doesn't say koyamar Hashem. But what does he say? Instead, he gives adjectives. Koyamar ram v'nisa shoychenad v'kadosh shemoi maroi v'kadosh eshkoin. Koyamar, the most exalted one. When we say this on Shabbos, shoychenad maroi v'kadosh shemoi, right? Well, this comes from these psukim in Yeshayahu. Where Shochinad Marom, we speak about God as the exalted one. Where is God? He can't get higher. He can't get more into a more lofty place. Shochinad, he can't be more forever. Marom, the Kadosh, completely separate. Shemo. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we talk about the adjectives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're talking about the highest of the high. Impossible to get higher. So Yeshayahu says, Kichoy amar ram v'nisa shoychein ad v'kadosh shemai marim v'kadosh eshkain. Where do I live, says Hashem? Marim, in the highest place, v'kadosh eshkain. So he's out there. God is not for us, to put this in our terms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not anything or anyone that we can grasp in any way. And then Yeshayahu says, in the name of Hashem, Koyamar Ram Venisa Shaychenad Vekadosh Shemai. He's quoting God here. I am the highest, I am the holiest, I am the furthest away, the most ungraspable of anything that you can imagine. Es Daka Ushval Ruach, Lahach Yeshruach Shvalim. My purpose is Es Daka Ushval Ruach, for the downtrodden, for the humble. Lahach yois ruach shefolim, I will give chius to the ruach, to the downtrodden spirit of those that are of the lowly. Ulahach yos, and I will be a machaya, I'll give chius, I'll give life, lev nitkoim, to those that are despondent. So here's Yeshayahu who describes the ultimate dichotomy, really, of life. Think about it for a second. That here's Hashem, who's the highest of the high, and the most exalted, and the most unreachable and ungraspable of anything in life, even beyond life. There's nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're talking about Hashem. And what's he busy with, says Yeshayahu? This Ko Amar, this is what this Ramanisa says, that I'm here for the despondent one. I'm going to take, or are we saying in Davening, Motzi Asirim, Podan Novim, Ozedalim, Onel Amo Yisrael Beishavimela. So the high and the low. What's the omic of it? What's the omic of this? And I think there's a big omic. So the Gemara says, first of all, in Sota, The Gemara says, quotes this pasuk, "Vezdaka ushval ruach." How do you translate the word ve'es daka? It's a little bit awkward when you read the pasuk. Let me do it one more time. Yes. Yes, in the Yitzhak. Kikoyam aram v'nisa shoychinad kadosh shmoy marim v'kadosh eshkain ve'es daka ushval ruach. So how do you translate that? Chaim, what's ve'es daka ushval ruach?
And also?
Which word is also? Ve'es. Ve'es daka ushval ruach l'hach yois ruach shefal. So Chazal, we're worried about what's that ve'es exactly. V'daka. What's the S? Not just the Gemara of S the Rabbis.
With.
Yeah. With. And what's the ramification of with? He's the meaning. He is down here. So says the Gemara like this: V'es daka ushval ruach. The Amoraim, how they learn Torah, how they learn to pasuk that we just sing. Vezdako Shva Ruach Rav Huna Rav Chista. This was a machlekes Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Chad Amar Rav Huna held. What's the pshat? Ve'es daka iti daka. V'chad Amar and Rav Chista said no. Ani es daka. Sounds subtle. The machlekes. What's the pshat in this s? So Rav Huna said. Ani es daka. And Rav Chista said, I'm sorry, iti daka. And then Rav Chista said, ani es daka. So Rashi helps us here. What is the first opinion is iti daka. Hashem's talking. With me are the downtrodden. Sounds good, no? With me are the downtrodden. What more can we ask for? So says Rashi, what does that mean? Ani magbia es hadako, I will pick up the downtrodden. Ad sheshoychein etzli, until that downtrodden person is with me. Behainu eshkoin es daka. And that's what Yeshayahu meant, that he, the exalted one, will pick up the downtrodden, magbia shefolim, and bring him to me. Comes Rav Chista, and he says, no, I don't like that. He didn't mean iti daka. He meant ani es daka, says Rashi, ani marchin eschinasi etzloi. I will come down to him. What a machlekes. Machlekes, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps the downtrodden. Kul alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps the lowly person. Now, who's that? All of us. That's all of us. That's all. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps the downtrodden. Is it the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the downtrodden and picks him up to where he is? Or is it the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is markin es atzmai, he lowers himself, pours himself into the place of the low person, and imcha anoichi b'tzar, I'm with you. Everybody hear the shaila? Is that esoteric or my nafkamina? What is the shoychein ad maroim? My nafkamina. What's the? He brings us up. We go down.
He still has to bring him back up on the way, no?
Why?
Because what's the point of going down there if it's not lifting them? I mean, even if it's just the experience of him being with us down here, it's doing something. So it's lifting us back up, right?
Okay, you're not dafka. I mean, that's what you're assuming. But let's clear our minds here for a second. Is that necessary? What is happening here? So I want to tell you just my own idea, that the pshat in this Gemara is, by the way, at the end of the Gemara, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? You can't have a shaila, Rav Huna and Rav Chista with no nafkamina. They weren't just two guys having a philosophical debate. Something like that. So says the Gemara, Mistavra Kamando Amar. The Gemara later on says, there's already time of Ravina and Ravashi, after Rav Huna and Rav Chista, Mistavra Kamando Amar Ani Es Daka. It's more likely It's more logical to say that Hashem comes down to us, not that he brings us up to him. Why? Because you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give the Torah on Mount Everest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not take, as Rashi says, Har Sinai, and he could have done anything, right? Make it grow. Wow, what a miracle. Just like there's thunder and there's lightning and there's clouds and you're listening to the lightning and you're seeing the thunder and all kinds of weird things happening at Har Sinai. So one more thing could have been, woo, watch that mountain grow. The mountain could have gone up to Shemayim. That would have been a cool nest and that would have been Judaism. It sounds what?
It was a mountain.
It was a mountain.
It wasn't a low place.
It wasn't a low place, Nachon, and it wasn't the smallest mountain even. But it wasn't the biggest mountain, but he could have made it into the biggest mountain. Even if you say Har Sinai had a mile onto itself, says the Gemara, of like Gavar Har Sinai Lamala. He didn't pick Har Sinai, not like everybody says, he didn't pick a higher mountain. Like Gavar Har Sinai Lamala, he didn't pick Har Sinai up. So from here you see the what? That Dafka Hashem wanted to come visit down here. He's like a great person, says, I want an audience with the king. I want an audience with the prime minister. Okay, who's going to who? Obviously, we're going to go to the office of the right, the president, the prime minister, the king is not coming to me. So here's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that it could go this way, it could go that way, enough that he's giving us this audience and he's taking care of the downtrodden. But no, I'm going to go to him. Mistavra, and we see, what's the Mistavra? We see it from Har Sinai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went down to the mountain. He didn't bring the mountain to him.
If you pick us up, it sounds like there's a chisaron in Main Daka that he had to pick us up if he's coming on to us. So that's already...
What's the chisaron?
That he had to pick us up. But if he's coming on to us, could be that that's Ratzvi, that that's Daka okay to be Daka. And then you get Hashem with you. As opposed to I need to pick you up and fix a problem.
I mean, there's something condescending.
Right.
Condescending. I'll bring you up to me. Sharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Niach Kol Harim Ugvois. And here he says... Further, that not only did he not pick Har Sinai up, but he niach kol harim u'gvois. He left aside all the harim, all the gvois, all the big mountains. V'hishra shchinasai al Har Sinai. Also, v'hi niach kol ilonois toivois. Right? Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu should have had his great first nevuah with an elm tree. Something majestic. It's a bush. Something, you know. Yeah. Hiniach kol ilonois toivois v'hishra shchinasai basne. Came to Moshe Rabbeinu in a snap. The taiches, l'dati, let's say, begadol, that there's two ways of looking at world, at life, the Jewish way and the non-Jewish way. Assuming that everybody agrees that God created the world and we're here to serve him. Is the world something where, like we have this world and we have to somehow get out of it and go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Like, let's just get out of this mess and put our heads in the Shemayim? Or is it the pshat that Hashem created this world for a reason? And being that the world was created for a reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Masra Shchinasai Ba'olam Hazeh. He wants a Dira B'tachtoinim. That's this week's parsha, right? Truma, Tetzava. This is what it's all about. We're not talking about you coming to me. I'm coming to you. Masra Shchinasai. Why? Because this is the whole tikkun. When Hashem created the world, Kol Hashem Mishalech Bagan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us in Gan Eden. Lamato. Lamato. Me'asar Tzvachim, like we learned over and over again, the Gemara in the Talmud Tevara. Lamato me'asar Tzvachim. It was only when Adam Arishain and Chava did the Chet that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't coexist in a situation where you don't recognize me, where you have no room for me. We need to explain that. So I had to elevate myself from above the world, but that's not the ideal. When we understand what Adam Arishan did, it was only the chet. The chet was he took the shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he raised it from lamata me'asar tzvachim to lamala me'asar tzvachim. He took it out of our domain, Lamata Me'as Haritzvachim in Hilchos Shabbos is our domain. After that's Malkum Patur. It's like no man's land up there, airspace. So what we're talking about over here with the Chet of Adam Arishan is that this was he went against the very purpose of the world. The purpose of the world was that Hashem should be here in the world. That's where He wants to be. That's where He created the world. I've explained this many times. This is Malchus.
Yosef
Hayah B'Mitzrayim. Did I say that? Yosef Hayah B'Mitzrayim. What is Malchus if I don't ain Melech B'Loyam? What is the Malchus of Hashem if I'm only in Shemayim? I need to be the king, Kivyachol, of everything. Everything means the low of the low. My majesty has to permeate everywhere. And Hashem is Halech Bagan. I have to be in the Gan. So when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu picking Har Sinai, so we're not just saying that, whoa, is he humble. We're saying that this is the whole point. It's not about humble. It's about, what if I would go to, somebody was describing to me, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, that he's going to medical school. He's going to medical school. I said, okay, and then what do you want to specialize in? So, I'm an American, so Americans are used to, I'm going to become a pediatrician, I'm going to become a surgeon, I'm going to become, some kind of a doctor. I'm going to become a professor, he says. and then what? I'm going to teach other people medicine, and then what? And they're going to become professors. Well, who's going to heal the people? there's this idea of living in this ivory tower of, when does it come? It reminded me. I just to further my muscle, it reminded me. I remember I was at the time learning in Brisk, and I was offered a job in Buffalo, New York. Well, Brisk to Buffalo, B2B. how is this going to work? So everyone said to me, you're going to go to Buffalo, there's 90% intermarriage, it's snowing too much, there's not a million. I came to my new shul, the Rav of the shul, the first week, there's no minion. how did that feel? So I'll describe to you how I feel. It was extremely humbling because I figure I'm going to become the Rav of a city, something like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, something like the Chassam Sofer. No million. But I remember saying to him in my katnus at the time, he says, how are you going to go, after all this Torah you learned and you're here in your Shalayim or Scheinberg and Brisk, you're going to go to Buffalo? So I said, that sounds to me like somebody who spends years and years in university and education learning how to treat malaria. And then somebody says, okay, shlichut, time to go to Africa. And he said, Africa, I'm not going to go there. There's malaria over there. what then is the point? Kachevanti. So just tell you a quick story, which I may have told, but just a quick story. While I'm here, there was no minion, and I remember, it was the minion was called for 9, I think, or 9:30 or something like that. That's when they called it for. No minion. 3 people, 4 people, 5 people. Another one walks in. Another one drives in. Another one, and we get to 9. And it's maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. We get to 9 people. The only thing worse than having 2 people is having 9 people. hello, we did the shechita. How could this be? It was terrible. It was just a terrible, terrible feeling. And this was not in where I was ended up in Buffalo, in the suburbs. So I said to the people, isn't there another Jew here we can call? No. No potential for a congregation here? No. So what'd you bring me here for? I don't know. Yabim Noraim, there's got to be somebody here that we can call. So finally they get to the point that there's Goldstein, who lives about a block away. This guy Goldstein, he's not a religious guy, but he lives about a block away. So, okay, Goldstein. So desperate for a new rabbi, just came to the city. Most of the people were already sleeping in the shul. So I go out to Goldstein's house and I knock on the door. It's 10 o'clock or 10:30 or something like that, Shabbos morning, and there's no answer. And I'm looking at there. They have like a porch, and then the porch is a picture window. You can see into the living room, but I'm knocking. And I go over to the window, and I couldn't see anything but this. I never saw this before. Was this sort of like white glow in the house? I realized that it was the television. You know, so what happened was when I there was I took it closer. There was like a couch and a television. It was a Saturday morning. And it looked like something from a science fiction movie. They were all like sitting in front of the television in their pajamas, mesmerized. With this glow on their face from the TV, you know. And I'm thinking, okay. And I'm with my talus and the snow. It was December or something. I was with my talus and the snow. So I knock out the window and I woke him up out of his stupor. And this guy answers with his pajamas, yeah. So I said, you know, I'm a new rabbi here. I'm a new rabbi here. I think back, I would never do this today. you know, people in shul, they're waiting. We need a 10th man. And he says to me, you know, he says, I'm like all confused. He says to me, I'm all confused. I'm all confused. Is it Rosh Hashanah? So I said, just like Shabbos, we do Shabbos. Like, no ideas. Was even like there was such an idea, a concept. You know, the concept was a chiddush. So he says, okay, I'll come. You need me, I'll come. I'll come. I came back. I said, he's coming. Nah. I said, yeah, he's coming. So look at this guy. 10 minutes later, you know, Phil Goldstein, he shows up with a suit and a tie and a shirt. I'm like, oh, he's kaput. I don't even know how. Mamish, like Rosh Hashanah did. You know. It was like the best dressed guy in the show. He comes in. Here, Minyan, he comes with his son, 12-year-old son, also all dressed up, beautiful. So I just want to tell you something. A story. P.S. This boy, who's today a doctor in Rochester, New York, was the valedictorian of Chavetz Chaim High School. And this guy became a Rav with Smicha and the head of the entire OU of Upper New York State. That was the... So this is the pshat. You know, think to yourself, like, was Hashem there or wasn't he there? What's the pshat? And he was just nifter, maybe 2 months ago. This isn't talking a story of, 40 years or something, 35 years. But this is a shot that the Shekhinah can be shayru. You know, I thought we're waiting for the Shekhinah. I thought we're waiting for some kind of an esoteric thing to take place that we can say, Baruch Hu Es Hashem Am Baruch. We weren't waiting for that. We were waiting for Phil Goldstein to come, because that was the Hashras HaShekhinah now came not just to a snowy city and not just to some suburb and not just to nine people. It came to the room with the television. That's where the permeation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. So, you know, there's malaria there in the woods, but the point is that's gufa. That's the tikkun. That's the tikkun, because that's where Hashem wants to be. It's not that this is humility on Hashem's place. That's why he created the world. That's where he wants to be. And it's not even a question of picking it up. That's where he wants to go. I want to get into that house. I want to get into that living room. I want to permeate. In order, Hashem says, in order for me to be successful with capital my project, then I have to be able to permeate every single nick and cranny of this world. And that's what took place over there. And that was his siyata d'shmaya. And as I say, the rest is history. So comes the pshat in Har Sinai is not that Hashem is making a concession and saying, okay, I'll meet you on the low mountain because I'm an Anav. The pshat in the concession is that's where I want to be. Now, why wasn't a valley? Good, talk about it next week. But why not in a valley? But that has to do with, as Rabbi Tan Yehuda said, we have to pick ourselves up. Meaning that there's an Isarusa de Lusata, Isarusa de Leila. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm coming down to meet you, but you need to come to Shul. I'm coming down to meet you, but you need to build the base of Mikdash. Ba'asu li Mishkan, v'shachanti b'seich. You need to do something in order to make a makom, which is panui, for the Shekhinah. That's what we need to do. But it's not, it's not Kodesh Baruch Hu is happy to go. not just happy. That is his, that's what he wants. The Ratzon Hashem is to go to the lowest place. So here, let's take this conversation here. The Gemara says the second example is the Sneh. So what happens with the Sneh? Moshe Rabbeinu stands in front of the Sneh, and Hashem says, you know, go down to Egypt and speak to the Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. I'm quoting it good. Let my people go. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Be anoichi ki avilifnei parei. Be anoichi. Who are by? I'm going to go stand in front of Paro. So we all understand the story. You don't have to, you know, who are by to stand before Paro? Or else for Simon, I can't even talk straight. I'm going to go speak in front of Paro. And what is Hashem's answer? Before that? I will go with you. Ani elach imachem. I will go with you. I'm not, you're telling me how low you are. The lower you're telling me you are, the more you're making me happy. The diuk, what I want. The more you're telling me that we're going, that the tribe is a downtrodden place, that they'll never get it. They won't understand Hashem, me Hashem. The more excited I am, Hashem says. Because now I'm going to get into that room with the TV. Now I'm going to get into the most downtrodden place. And if I can't soak into the nicks and crannies of this world, which at that time was Mitzrayim, if I can't soak into that, so what do I need? I need you to get out to the top of Mount Everest and meditate? That's why I created a world? For you to get out of it? So this is the difference, as I said, between Judaism and every other religion. The ones that recognize God, that we're not trying to get away from the world, we're trying to bring Hashem into it. I think that's the Omek of this Gemara here. The Omek of the Gemara is that comes from Christianity, says to Rav Huna, no. It's not the godless of Hashem, is that he brings you up. That's not what Yeshayahu was saying. That Shochelad Baroi V'Kadoi Shemai is coming and he's going to come right down. The Shochelad V'Kadoi Shemai is right here with us in the pits. Imcha anoichi b'tzar, because that's where I want to be. See, I will learn with you in time, but we only have 2 minutes to go. Rav Dessler, Chelag Aleph, page 101, a fascinating Michtav Meliyahu, where he speaks about, look at the two greatest revelations in the history of the Jewish people. The two greatest revelations, number one, Har Sinai, number two, Yecheskel and the Maaseh Merkabah. The founding of the whole Torah, the founding of the only closest we get to the essence of Hashem and Kabbalah is the Maaseh Merkabah. What Yecheskel saw that we can't even understand. Where did it happen? Not just on a low mountain. It happened, and not just in Golos. But you would have thought the whole time we were in Eretz Yisrael, from the time of Shlomo HaMelech, all the way until the time of the Chorban, at some point or another, some Navi would have had a nevuah about the Maaseh Merkava. Where was the Maaseh Merkava? But it was only, says Rav Dessler, after the Yisurim of Golos, it was only after we were downtrodden, and it was only after we were pushed down to the lowest level in suffering, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, now I could talk to you about the Maaseh Merkava. Now you're on some kind of a madrega. Madrega, I've never been so low. Oh. That's where I want to be, right? That's exactly where I want to soak in. I want to be able to permeate that low place. So it wasn't in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't the time of the great Nevi. It wasn't the tribe of Yeshayahu or Yirmiyahu. It was Yecheskel. Begolus, Bavel, and Bavel. He didn't see Eretz Yisrael, this Nevuah. Because you got to get lower and lower and lower and lower. Aldaris Bavel. Shab Yashavnu, Gam Bochinu. Where we were sitting by Naris Bavel and suffering and hungry and mourning the losses that we just lost in Yerushalayim. That's where I'm going to appear to you and show you the greatest secret. As Rav Dessler, it brings from the Zohar, I believe, that as Rav Dessler, that you have to know that the gilui of the Maaseh Merkava was a deeper giloy than the Maisa of Har Sinai. Do you want me to repeat that? The giloy of the Maisa Merkava was a deeper giloy, but I'm not saying it's more important. You can live without the Maisa Merkava, you can't live without Har Sinai. But in terms of the depth of insight, it was even deeper. We got to a deeper place than in Har Sinai. Why? Because the pain of Golos Bavel was more than the pain of Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Yetzias Mitzrayim were on our way to Eretz Yisrael. We thought within a couple of weeks. Okay, you know, this is we're just en route, not too bad. Golos Bavel, we thought it was all over. And he says that, and the means to say that we became Golos Bavel, we were lower. Since we were lower, we were higher.
Is there Shiv Kalor Ha-Mashiach
as well? Well, what?
Yes, Shiv Kalor Ra'ah, the Kriyas Yamsuf, also Ben, it says Yechas Korein. Then it says Shiv Kasab.
Ra'ah Shivcha.
Ra'ah Shivcha. That's a different sort of galut. That's a different thing.
Ra'ah Shivcha Alayam Asher Loi Ra'ah. Yecheskel ben Buzi. So first of all, what's the comparison to Yecheskel ben Buzi? Makasher Yecheskel ben Buzi. Why is it Yeshayahu? So the answer is that's the highest, and the Shivcha, who was lowly, Dafka. The Shivcha was the lowest person. We're not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not talking about Aaron. We're not talking about the Ziknei Yisrael. Rosh Shivcha Aleyam Mashaloi Ra Yecheskel ben Buzi. There was a possibility of even the highest level because she was so low. Shivcha Aleyam. That was the godless of Shiv Chalaya. So what? So that's the taich of this pasuk. That's the taich. So he says here, just to finish the sentence. Sorry. the theme is, that's why I said so much to learn from a hakdama and even a biographical hakdama. Hakdama with footnotes is that. He attributed, Rabbi Yitzchak of Milojin attributed the massive amount of Torah and Siyata Deshmaya that his father had to start every yeshiva, not from his big heights, but from the fact that he was the Anav Mikol Adam. See, Rabbi Chaim Milojin writes himself later on in the Sefer. He writes that everybody has to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't mekabel the Torah in spite of the fact that he, you know, was like a low self-esteem. He says it was like a kli. It's like a kli, like a cup. And the cup, how much liquid can you fit into this cup? 8 ounces, 12 ounces, 13 ounces. So you can't really measure from the outside of the cup. You have to measure from the inside of the cup. And the thicker the walls of the cup. Thick walls, kishmak a cup, right? It doesn't even break when you fall it. The less liquid is going to go in there. Moshe Rabbeinu was the thinnest walls possible. He had hardly anything of himself. It was clean. He was a clean to be makabel. That was the lowliness. And Ruchai Velazhin says, he said, everybody has to know that anybody who would be the anav like Moshe Rabbeinu, anav mikol adam, would also have the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. It goes together because the anav is making room for the Shechina so that the Shechina can soak in and be there with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought he was at a disadvantage. I can't talk. I can't. I'm a pyro. I'm a shepherd. This is exactly what we want. Why I'm choosing you? And look at the snab coming to you in a bush. Do you see me in the elm trees? This is exactly where I'm coming to you, because I want to get back to the place of Kol Hashem B'Shalach B'Gan, B'Toch HaGan. See, let me tell you one thing just before we say good job is here. When I get back to Buffalo for a second. When I came from Eretz Yisrael to Buffalo, so the Rebbe, Rav Scheinberg, told me that I should go, I'm going to stop in New York, I should go say Shalom Aleichem to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Because Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, is the posek hador, and if something will come up, you'll have somebody you can call, and he has to know who you are. And so I said, I'll call you. So he says, I don't know always what's, you know, in America, it's a different country, and he doesn't always know, you know, what the minhag is, what to do, catch me with Rav Moshe, as we told. So I did. I called, and the rabbi said, answered. I told him that, exactly what I wanted. I told her. She said, yeah, come at this time. And I came to the house of Rav Moshe Feinstein on the Lower East Side. I think I might have told you this great story that I came into the house, and she said I should wait in the living room. I should wait in the living room, and this beautiful living room, we had a big window overlooking FDR Drive, and the living room, I'm looking at this living room, looked like an old person, old rabbi living room, right? You know, and old furniture, you know, like my grandmother's furniture, like that's what it was. So we had like this couch with three seats and this love seat with two seats, and then the sort of like royal type of a chair for with one seat, and that was the coffee table. And that was the living room, and I'm thinking to myself, where should I situate myself? Like, where do I belong? So I said, like, couch, that's too big. The single chair is probably his chair. So I chose the love seat. All right, good choice. So I'm standing in front of the love seat. I'm sitting there. And like two seats. But you know, those love seats, you really have to be a lover, because there's really not enough room for two people on those seats. It's just really an expanded one seat. Right? Yeah, nobody sits two seats. You sit two people. You sit on a couch with a pillow in between. It's uncomfortable since I'm close to somebody. So I'm standing at this. I chose wisely. I chose the thing. And Rav Moshe comes in, and I stood up. And he says, Shalom Aleichem. And he has to choose a seat. Where does he sit? He sits right next to me in the love seat. And I felt like telling him, like, there's so many chairs in this room. What are you just sitting right next to me after? And he sat like next to me, like this. He was sitting next to me, and we're like 2 inches away from each other. That's the way we're sitting. It was like straight. So this was like a very uncomfortable. I mean, like, it was like a little too close to the Shechina for me. Anyway, what can I do for you? You know, so I explained to him that I just finished yeshiva, and I'm coming in to being a rabbi here, and I'm looking for, you know, to make a kasher and maybe some eitzes, you know, in Rabbanus, like, yeshiva, give me an eitzah. So he thought for a second. Rav Moshe's face was like shiny. It was like, I was actually, I don't exaggerate, it was actually like difficult to look at him. It was so. It was like Moshe Rabbeinu, like he needed to wear a mask, and here it was like, let's see, you know. But he said to me, he says, I'll give you an eitzah. In Yiddish, we were talking. I'll give you an eitzah. He said that traditionally, in Rabbanus, there's two ways to be a rav. One way to be a rav is like, you know, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, Nahoig nasi yosecha baramim, you know. And you don't let anybody offend you, and don't let anybody mess with you, and don't let anybody, I don't remember his words, but you know, like, just make sure, watch your cover. That's one way, and many, many Rabbanim were matzliach in that derech. We can go through a list. And then there's another derech, like you find in history, of Rabbanim that are mavater, you know. Okay, my covet is not important, and you know, whatever, give it to somebody else. It's a different derech in Rabbanus. So he told me, he says, I'm not sure which is the right derech. He says, but I always chose the latter. I was always mevater. If you want my eitzah, I think you should choose the latter too. That was his tip. I thought he was going to give me like some kind of a thing, like who to call to be besader gittin or something, you know, like or how to get a minion. be mevater. The omek of the, I don't know that I've, you know, I was ever on the Madrega to be Makayev it, but it's always in my head, this Eitzah. But the Obek of the Eitzah is because the whole idea is that you're opening up a new branch for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. It's a new Beis HaMikdash, a new Mishkan, a new place, a new... And in order for the Kol Hashem to be able to permeate B'toch HaGan, so the only way to do it is by being Mevater. Like Chai Volozhin says, that if you have the Keli of Moshe Rabbeinu, if you have the Anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu, you can have the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. You can have it because there's room there. So you need to make room. So this is, I think, the message of Yeshayahu. Shoychenan Marim V'Kadosh Shemoi, but he's with you in the love seat. Yeah? He's right there and able to permeate if you can be Makabel, if you can be the Kliya Makabel. And this is a very, very practical thing. And this Rabitzler says, we'll read through it quickly on Sunday, but this is Rabitzler, this is the Rabitzler of Lashon. This was the success. From this came out Velozhida Yeshivas. From this came out all the yeshivas. From this came out the Goyin HaGoyinim. And where did he get it from? From standing in front of the Grah. He was together with the Grah, and he saw Milfanov, and he was humbled in such a way that everything was able to permeate him. The whole Shechina was able to permeate him, and he was able to go. So Kedi Yerotzeh, this is what we need to open ourselves up to. So to be, you want to be big, you have to be very, very small. And then there's a certain gaiva that comes with being small, which is good. because then it's not my covet any longer, it's the Kvod Hashem. And the Kvod Hashem, then you really have esteem. Then you really have covet. But the way to do it is it's not my covet or your covet or his covet. It's the covet Hashem. And the covet Hashem, that's what we need to let into even the... So just to make this point much clearer, that when we're talking about Golos Bavel, we're talking about Golos Mitzrayim, we were humbled at that time. And since we were humbled at that time, we were zochet to the Meisim Merkava to Matan Torah. It was the Anav Mashpil Geim Magbiya Shvalim. That was the Oizer Dalim. That was where we were zochet Dafka, a place of zero and minus, that we were able to be Makabal the Shkin. That's from Sharon.